Hare Krishna. With great respect, we would like to offer our gratitude for all of you who have come this evening. This very simple structure is the Social Welfare Center for the Western Railway of Matunga Road, according to the sign. This is a very appropriate place for Shravanam Kirtanam Satsang. The fulfillment of the real purpose of this building is taking place by your enthusiastic participation in the sublime process of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bharata Bhumite Hoila Manusya Janma Jaras Janma Saratika Kari Karapara Upakar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to teach the means by which we could give the highest social welfare to all living beings without the slightest sense of discrimination on the basis of their material situations, qualifications or disqualifications in life. When we speak about welfare, we are aiming at relieving people of their suffering and bringing them to a status in life by which they can feel security, shelter, and happiness. By this natural definition, no material means can actually solve the real problems of suffering. Sometimes people think of welfare from a philanthropic point of view, by feeding the poor, by hospitalizing the sick, by giving encouragement to those who are mentally suffering, by giving education to the illiterate, by providing better sewage systems to those who are living in very, very poverty-stricken conditions. In other words, by upgrading the physical and mental conditions of a person's life. However, even if we do all these things, still people are suffering. Because the threefold miseries, adi-atmaka, adi-daivaka, adi-bhautika, are there for everyone, the rich, the poor, the healthy, the sick, the literate, the illiterate, the men, the women, the high caste, the low caste. Material nature makes no discrimination of who will suffer within this material world. In fact, Krishna explains in Gita, Ahabrahma bhuvana loka punar avatanorjuna mamupetyato kontaya punara janmana vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world, Brahma Loka, there's no disease, there's no poverty. People live billions and sometimes trillions of years. But still, it is a miserable place because everything is temporary. All will end in death. Old age, disease, and death are imminent in everyone's life in this material world. So no doubt it is natural compassion to try to improve people's material suffering, and it is welfare. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach us para upakar, the ultimate welfare. deliverance from the bodily conception of life, realization of the eternal treasure or the wealth of the soul, which is the ecstasy of loving Krishna. For the soul is beyond the modes of material nature, beyond the limitations of death. Na hanyate hanyamane sarire. Even when the body dies, the soul remains as it is. So to elevate to people to the position of reality, understanding and realization of truth, that I am Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, this is real welfare work. Some people think that material wealth is welfare. But actually, usually it has the opposite effect toward a person's real interest. And this particular evidence is given in Srimad Bhagavatam by Lord Krishna himself in the story of the deliverance of Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. Please, tonight for a few minutes, we will examine the content of this particular pastime and how it relates to us in this world. On the day of Diwali, Yashoda Mai was churning butter. She was churning butter only so that this butter would be pleasing for Krishna. At the same time, she was cooking milk for the pleasure of Krishna. In Vrindavan, everything is for the pleasure of Krishna. The Brijvasis, for even a moment, cannot conceive of any thought, word, or action that is not exclusively for the pleasure of Krishna. That is because they are living in their original natural condition of love. When you love someone on the spiritual platform, which means to love Krishna, or to love someone in relation to Krishna, then you forget your own personal self-interest. You are simply concerned with Krishna's satisfaction. And this is how we can understand one who is advanced in spiritual life. That their only real concern is simply the pleasure of Krishna. In this material world, what gives the greatest pleasure to Krishna? When we chant his name, when we hear his glories, yat karoshi yad asnashi yad johoshi tadasyat yat tapasyasi konteya tat kurushama darpanam. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, all austerities you perform should be done as offering to me. And one understands that every living being is part of Krishna. Jivara Swarupoi Krishna Nitya Krishna Das. And people are suffering in this world because of their forgetfulness of Krishna. Krishna is the father of every living being. As declared in Gita, Aham Bija Pratapita. Therefore, to help another to realize his suffering condition in this world and turn to the path of bhakti is very, very pleasing to Krishna. In fact, Krishna concludes Bhagavad Gita by declaring that there is no one more dear to me, nor will there be anyone more dear to me in the future than that person who enlightens another in the subject of devotional service. So the residents of Vrindavan, whatever they do is for Krishna's satisfaction. And therefore, in this sense, the ultimate perfection of life is to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. the milk on the stove began to boil over. So Yashoda Mai put Krishna down in order to rescue the milk so that it would be a nice preparation to offer to Krishna. But in the meanwhile, Krishna wanted to increase the pleasure of his devotee. And sometimes that pleasure comes through anxiety or separation. Because the deeper we become engrossed in the remembrance of Krishna, the greater the ecstasy of the soul. So Krishna was thinking that my mother has left me for some other duty. Just see what I will do. So he took stone and broke the clay pot that she was churning the butter in. And he stole the butter. Makan chor. The glorious pastime of Krishna. He took that butter and then he went into another room and he saw more butter hanging from the ceiling by ropes. He turned a wooden grinding mortar upside down, climbed to the top, broke that pot, and was distributing the contents to the monkeys of Vrindavan. When Yashoda Mai came in, she noticed that Krishna's gone. Where is he gone? Then she saw the pot was broken. The butter was taken out. Because Krishna at that time was very, very small child. When he would eat the butter, he would cause quite a mess. And it got all over his feet. So she followed the butter footprints of Gopal. And there she saw him feeding the butter to monkeys. When he saw her, he became very much afraid. He looked in all directions, where to escape? And he ran. She ran after him with stick. Why? Because she is thinking that he is my child, my son. If I do not teach him properly, then how will he learn to be well behaved? In this way, Krishna ran and she ran. Who can catch the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The devotee who wants to serve him with pure, unalloyed love. These fans do not work. It will help people stay awake if they work. Not working. Hare Krishna. It is the Center for Social Welfare. First thing they should do is fix the fans for the welfare of the people who come to this place. Haribo. So, Krishna agreed to be caught by Yashoda. And then she decided that I have so many chores to do today and my assistants are all busy in other activities. If Krishna is in such a mischievous mood, then he may be harmed by his playful activities. She decided to bind him with rope. When she went to put the rope around him, the rope was 2 fingers too short. She got more rope, tied that to the original rope, 2 fingers too short, more and more rope. Soon the gopis of Vrindavan were all coming, bringing all the rope they could find. Hundreds and hundreds of ropes were bound together. Every time it was 2 fingers too short. As the gopis were tying, they were laughing at this wonderful, wonderful activity that Krishna was performing. But finally, Krishna saw that Yashoda Mai, due to her loving desire to protect him, her hair was loosening, The hairs were falling out. I mean, the flowers were falling out. Her sari was becoming loosened. So he agreed to be bound by his mother. When she went to perform her household duties, Lord Krishna decided that, see what I will do now. He went crawling. As he crawled, this big, big wooden grinding mortar was being dragged behind him. He then saw two Arjuna trees. The story of this Arjuna trees is told by Shukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. How he told it is as follows. Krishna pulled that rope between the trees. The wooden grinding mortar got caught between them. He pulled. The trees trembled. The leaves, the branches, the bark, and and everything in the tree was trembling and trembling and trembling. And then, it broke. Both of those trees went falling to the ground with thunderous, resounding sounds. And two effulgent, fire-like personalities came out of the trees. Shukadev Goswami explained they were Manigriva and Nalu Kuvera, the sons of Kuvera, who were cursed by Narada Muni to stand as trees. Parikshit Maharaj asked, why? Why would a great devotee like Narada Muni curse someone to stand as trees? Was it out of revenge? Please tell me. Sukadeva Goswami described that Nala Kuvera and Manigriva had great, great opulence. They were the sons of Kuvera, who is the treasure of the demigods. Not only did they have such a high family dynasty, but they were very intimate, close associates of Lord Shiva. Mahadev, the greatest of the gods, the destroyer of the universe, the most powerful of all the denizens of the heavenly worlds. Even though Lord Shiva has all the opulences of the universe, still he remains personally in a complete poverty-stricken state materially. We find how foolish people are in the conditioned state of consciousness. Most people worship Shiva or Durga, his consort, because they want material acquisitions from him. They want wealth, better home, better car, better food, better clothes, better family life. Do you know anyone who worships Shiva or Durga for these things? Have you heard of such a person? Everyone. But Lord Shiva's, although he has all these things, he could give Ravana incredible wealth, incredible health. He could give him the power to have cities of gold. He can give him the power to conquer planets of the demigods. But Lord Shiva, who's giving these benedictions, along with Durga Devi, his wife, he never, ever, ever sleeps in a house. Even this social welfare center would be too much opulence for Lord Shiva. He sleeps under a tree. And he doesn't wear clothes. His worshippers are trying to get all kinds of nice fashionable clothes. But he's naked. or at the most he wears an old skin of an animal. Why? Because he's showing, I have all these things, and I'm in ecstasy, and I'm giving you all these things, and you're miserable. Real wealth of Lord Shiva is he's always meditating on Krishna, and always chanting his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. And that's what he wants to give everyone. But no one wants that from him. They want the temporary forms of miseries, which Lord Shiva totally rejects. He spits it out with disgust. But even though they see him in that situation, they're asking him, please give me that. Because Lord Shiva is so great, and because in this material world practically everyone is materialistic, everyone worships Shiva in one form or another, or his beloved consort. So to be one of the internal associates of Lord Shiva is a very prestigious position to be in. Just like if someone knows the Prime Minister, they'll be very proud. I'm in the inside crowd of the Prime Minister. But then how long do Prime Ministers last in the age of Kali Yuga? I know in Africa, I knew some people. They were very inside personal associates of the king. And therefore everywhere they were getting such respect. And people were giving them all kinds of charitable gifts because if they please him, they please the king. That lasted a few years. Then there was an overthrow, military overthrow of the king, and anybody who was close to him were public enemies number one. They were either killed or put in prison or exiled. So that is the nature of this material world. Everything is changing. What becomes the source of happiness becomes the very source of misery when the modes of nature just move about as they will. Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, in this world is called Chanchalam. Always going from one place to another. So these two sons of Kuvera were very, very proud. They had the money of their father. They had the prestige of being a personal inner circle associate of Shiva. And due to that false pride, inevitably, you must commit offenses. As soon as you think you're better than anyone, you have to offend them. The only safe position to be in, Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamala Yoradasa Dasa Dasa Anudas, to be the servant of the servant of the servant, Amanina Manadena, to offer all respects to others and to expect none in return. That is the only consciousness by which we can make steady progress in spiritual life. The greatest enemy is false pride. So Nala Kuvera and Manigriva became so very proud. They were learned. They were demigods, so they had beautiful, effulgent bodies. They had wealth and prestige. Everything everyone wants in this world, they had it, and it was a curse. When you think that you're very great, you think you're the enjoyer. The fever increases. What is the disease of material life? The fever that I am the enjoyer. Where Krishna says, Bhoktaram Jagata Saptapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He is the proprietor, he is the enjoyer of everything. You cannot think that you're the enjoyer and recognize Krishna as the enjoyer simultaneously. They are contradictory states of mind. Therefore, tapasya is the basis of spiritual life. And the essence of tapasya is humility. To understand that God is great, and I am the insignificant Anudas, servant of the servant of his servant. That is real tapasya. You give up your eating, you give up your sleeping, you sit in the middle of fires, you go to the Himalayas without any clothes in the winter times. People consider these things to be tapasya. But these types of tapasya have the tendency to make us very proud. If we're not eating, we're thinking that I'm more advanced than somebody eating. If I only drink milk, then when I see somebody eating halava, sabji, puri, I think, what is that? If I'm only sleeping 3 hours and I see someone sleeping 6 hours, I'm thinking, you are sleeping. If I am celibate, have not lost a drop of my semen since my birth, and somebody else has a wife and 6 children, we're thinking, you should wash my clothes, you should take the dust from my lotus feet. The real tapasya, the tapasya that will please Krishna, is to feel oneself more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. Hanuman, Narada Muni, they had a wonderful discussion where they were describing and extolling the glories of the Pandavas. Hanumanji said to Narada, when you go to see the Pandavas, don't have the spoiled intelligence of thinking because the two of us are celibates and they're householders and engaged in political affairs that we're better than them. We should worship them because they are so dear to Krishna due to their exclusive humility and love. So, these two denizens of the higher planets, they had so much facility to enjoy. The more you have, the more you need. This is declared in Gita, that lust burns like fire. It could never be satisfied. The more you give it, the more it burns in your heart, in your senses, in your mind. And the very purpose of human existence is burned to ashes by that fire. They would take intoxicating liquor, not what they sell in the permit rooms or taverns of Bombay. Here, if you can get imported liquor from America or Europe, that is very high prestige. We see it in the hoardings, the billboards. Only very wealthy people can afford these things. But they don't drink these fermented mode of ignorance drinks. They drink Varuni and Madhvi. Varuni and Madhvi, they don't dull your senses with mode of ignorance fermented bacterial. What is alcohol? Really, all it is just the stool of worms and bacteria. It's horrible. But a Varuni is nectar that's flowing from trees. Different beverages which are extracts of somaras. It makes you live long. It makes you very, very piercingly conscious of the surroundings. In fact, anything you touch to your senses have hundreds or thousands of times more capacity to enjoy it. Just like you eat rasgulla, very nice. But if you take Varuni or Madhvi, that rasgulla takes tens and thousands of times better. Hare Krishna. What to speak of relations with the opposite sex? That's the king of all pleasures in this world. Maituna agara. People are madly chasing after the matin, opposite sex. Their whole lives are oftentimes just bound by the knot of the sex attraction. And everything is revolving around that mentality and their byproducts. And people try to disguise it in so many fashionable ways. But the heart of life is very much focused and centered around that enjoyment. If you drink Varuni or Madhvi, Hare Krishna. When you see a woman, or a woman sees a man, whatever beauty you enjoy is multiplied thousands and thousands of times. What to speak of when you talk to them, or sing with them, or touch them? Hare Krishna. It's a very dangerous situation. So they were intoxicated. And they were in the abode of Shiva near Kailash, where there's a beautiful, beautiful lake, Manasarovar, with all of its tributaries. The Sarayu River is coming from that as one of the tributaries. So they were playing in this beautiful lake of water with Mandakini Ganga also flows in that area. They were playing in the water with beautiful, beautiful celestial women, naked. At that time, Narada Muni came. He came there to give mercy of Krishna to them. Narada Muni walked right to the vicinity where they were singing and enjoying. The ladies, they felt so embarrassed to be playing naked in front of such a great rishi that they ran away to put on their clothes. But Nalakuvera Manigriva, they didn't care anything for Narada Muni. They didn't care anything for social etiquette. They simply ignored him and went about their business of being naked. So Narada Muni understood what kind of delusion and illusion they are in. I must teach them a good lesson. So he spoke that because of your prestige, your pride of being such good close associates of Shiva, you think you have a right to offend others. Actually, even in spiritual life, this is a great danger. Sometimes we see that intimate personal associates of a spiritual master, they think they are more important, more advanced, more selectively chosen than the ordinary devotees. And they mistreat them. And they fall down. We have seen this on so many occasions. A person who is a disciple of Guru Maharaj, who is a very close associate, he thinks that people who are a distance away, just doing some ordinary service, that I am special. He offends them, and then Krishna retracts his mercy and all his spiritual disciplines, his taste for hearing and chanting are finished. So if we're actually a really close inner circle person, that is not by physical proximity. It is based on our consciousness, how much we're actually surrendering to their instruction, to their mood of devotion. And that means Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Always chanting the holy name in a state of humble devotion. Too much money is the cause of great downfall if we think this money is mine. Why? Because money gives power. And power infatuates the ego. We think we can drink what we want. We think we can eat what we want. And then we abuse and misuse others. In the Western countries where there is so much wealth, there's also so many slaughterhouses. Hundreds of millions of innocent animals being slaughtered every year. How? Why? Because people think that I have a right to drink the blood and eat the flesh of this animal because I'm better than the animal. And then that leads to a hard-heartedness where people become cruel either to other human beings. And we see oftentimes in big families where there's great wealth and affluence that even brothers and brothers, even father and sons, they become bitter enemies over who has the highest claim to money and power. Although there is sufficient abundance for everyone, there's no need to fight about it. Still, the intoxication of that pride is we want so much power, we want so much wealth, we cannot take a subordinate position to another. I know when I was a little boy, my mother, she used to tell that don't give gifts to my children. Because if they have gifts, they'll fight over who gets to play with it. She considered toys poison. That was her mantra. Toys are poison. Because the more you get, the more they fight. So when you grow up, you just have big, big toys. Factories as toys. Houses as toys. Real estate as toys. Big, big bank balances as toys. Poison destroys relationships. And why is it that fathers have to be so careful and scrutinizingly thorough in making their will and testament? Because they know if everything is not in clear, transparent, legally irrefutable terms, then my children will become enemies to fight over whose is whose. That's a big, big concern today. When wealthy people are about to die, they spend years with their lawyers trying to come out with a ironclad, irrefutable will that will not cause any dissension. This is yours, and you cannot touch this, and you cannot touch that. Why not just say, it's all, you just harmoniously use whatever is theirs. Because in Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, it doesn't work. So So material opulence has that tendency to create greed, pride, and also one thinks one's so good and one's so protective of his environment that one does not allow saintly people to come and preach to them. Narada Muni considered this one of the greatest disqualifications of wealth. Srila Prabhupada explains, in the Western world, when you go to rich people's houses, there's big, gigantic dogs. Not like these dogs in India that go ruff, ruff, ruff. They go ruff, ruff, ruff. Big dogs. The dogs in America, some of them are bigger than the horses in India. And they're well fed. And there's big sign, beware of dog. And if a saintly person comes to do madhukari, beg alms, people will not come with arti trays and incense and wash his feet. Rather, they'll be... But a poor person's house, they can't even afford a lock. Sometimes they can't even afford a door. The saintly persons come in and the people say, oh, please give us your blessings. Ashirvad. Babaji Maharaj, please. So in this way, association with saintly people is the only means by which we can make spiritual progress. Brahmanda Bhagiteva. Guru Krishna Prasare by Bhakti Latabi. After wandering through the universes for millions and millions of births, when one comes in association of a real sadhu, then he plants the seed of bhakti in your heart. Without that seed, you can make no real spiritual progress. The people who are too much proud, too much infatuated, they have a whole system of protection to keep that seed out of their heart. So Narada Muni was very compassionate. He decided that they are so much in the fever of pride and opulence. Let them be in a situation where they have nothing. Because they are standing naked. Let them stand naked for 100 years in the form of trees. But not ordinary trees. Arjuna trees. Narada Muni cursed them to be trees for 100 celestial years. 1 day in the celestial realm is equal to 6 months of our years. So how many years is 100 celestial years by our calculations? What is 180 times 100? Times 2. Because there's nights too. Around 36,000 years, they were standing as trees. But Narada gave them, within this curse, the benediction that they would not be like ordinary trees whose consciousness is very, very dull, but they would have the same consciousness as demigods in the form of trees. Just this morning I was at Bhaktivedanta Hospital, that Mira Road, and I saw some patients who are devotees who are laying in bed. one patient, dear, dear friend of ours. He has to stay there.
It's hellish.
You want to do so many things. You have so many desires. You have so much energy. You want to move and enjoy, serve something. Here, full-fledged demigod consciousness in the body of trees for 36,000 years. They can't move. They can't go anywhere. They can't say anything. Does that sound like torture to you? Ah, Narada Muni is perfect physician. He knows exactly the medicine for these rascals. 100 celestial years of complete bed rest in the form of trees. That is the physician's prescription. But he gave them the benediction that after this 100 celestial years expires, you will be face to face to see the beautiful pastimes of Lord Krishna. Why didn't he let them see the pastimes of Krishna immediately? Because they had to be sober in their consciousness. They had to realize their mistakes. They had to understand the foolishness of their offenses. They had to be for some time with no money, with no prestige, with no facility to enjoy women or liquor. They were in a state of total poverty. When a person suffers poverty, they have sympathy for another person who's in poverty. A person who's only rich oftentimes has no sympathy for those who are poor because they do not know how they're suffering. Prabhupada uses the example that a woman who has never given birth to a child can never understand what it means to give birth to a child. Of course, for those who are akinchana gocharam, they can see Krishna. Those who are in poverty. But we find that sometimes the greatest kings are the greatest devotees because in their hearts they have experienced poverty in the sense that they accept everything belongs to God. Nothing is mine. You can be a multimillionaire and be a kinchana gocharam if you're humble and accept that everything is the property of Krishna. Everything is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. And in that state, you are charitable to the real welfare of others. Rich and poor, as a disqualification or qualification in spiritual life, is not based on what you have, but the state of your consciousness and how you have it. They stood for this 100 years as trees in total poverty. And then they got to see the beautiful childhood pastimes of Lord Krishna. Because Narada Muni had them take their birth in Mahavan Gokul, right in the backyard or the courtyard of Sri Nanda Maharaj. They couldn't say anything, but by seeing Krishna's pastimes, by hearing the Brijabasis chanting his glories, they became purified. When Krishna pulled that grinding mortar through the trees, they trembled and shaked. It was a very painful situation for them. Krishna came to kill them. He was there to destroy their bodies. When the trees cracked and broke, their spirit souls came out in the full-fledged forms of Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. But now their hearts were pure. They stood before Lord Krishna with folded hands and offered beautiful prayers of surrender. You are the Supreme Absolute Truth, the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of everything that exists. You know everything, past, present, and future. Therefore, it was your arrangement, seeing that we were so proud and offensive that we take birth as trees, just to become your humble servants. Through the vehicle of your representative, Narada Muni, you have given us this mercy. Therefore, we consider that it was not a curse, but it was the ultimate benediction that he has given us the body of trees. They began to praise with grateful hearts the mercy of Narada. And they begged Krishna. They begged Krishna for his mercy. They prayed to him that the only benediction we desire is that we remain the servant of the servant of the servant of your servants. That with our mouths we always chant your glories and nothing else. With our ears we hear nothing but your transcendental names and pastimes. With our eyes we never see anything or anyone but you and your devotees. With our hands we're continuously engaged in serving your servants. With our legs, we're only using them for your devotional service. And our minds always remember you and never forget you. This was the only benediction they desired. They no longer wanted wealth, women, intoxication. Na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavata bhakti rahoi thikitvai. I do not want wealth. I do not want beautiful women. I do not want followers, fame, prestige. I do not even want liberation from the sufferings of this world. Only I want to be your servant. Your causeless, unalloyed servant, birth after birth after birth. That was the prayer of Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. When they asked Krishna for this deliverance, Krishna smiled. Krishna smiled because he just freed these two devatas from the bodies of trees, but he was still bound up by the rope of Mother Yashoda. They were free, they were delivered by his powers, but he was still captive, bound, tied to this grinding mortar. And he couldn't untie it himself. Then Krishna thought that these two people, they were such rascals, offensive people. I didn't even want to see their face. I have no business having anything to do with such drunken people. But because Narada Muni has promised that I would give them mercy, I must make his word true. It was only by the mercy of Narada Muni that Krishna would have anything to do with them. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati kutopi. We have no access to Krishna. We have no means of pleasing Krishna except through the mercy and the prayers of his devotees.
This is the eternal fundamental truth of bhakti.
Krishna told them that he would give them their benediction, that they would always remain his pure unalloyed servants, and they can return to their spiritual, to their celestial abodes, and throughout their lives always be chanting his glories and remembering his divine pastimes. So they circumambulated Krishna and bowed down to him and returned to their heavenly abodes as pure Vaishnavas. Meanwhile, hearing this thunderous sound of these Arjuna trees falling, the residents of Vrindavan, the cowherd men who were nearby, they came running to see what was this great tumult. Have you ever seen Arjuna trees? They're the most difficult trees to push down. One of our godbrothers were telling that recently in Mauritius there was a cyclone and practically every tree was knocked down. But the Arjuna trees were not even moved slightly. We saw some Arjuna trees in Vrindavan. Their roots come up above the ground several feet and go all the way down. The base of these trees is so formidable. It's the most sturdy of all trees. They don't just go like this. They go like this. They're structured by Lord Brahma so that no wind, nothing can break them down. The little baby Krishna, by his crawling, these two Arjuna trees, which were towering into the sky, fell down, and they made such a tumultuous sound. The gopas, they came running to see, and there they found little baby Krishna, bound with a rope to a grinding mortar, right in the middle between the trees. The trees fell, one just to the left side of Krishna and one just to the right side of Krishna. How amazing! How did these trees fall? And somehow or other, by the inconceivable grace of God, Krishna was not harmed. If these trees even touched his soft limbs, he would have been smashed to pieces. They were confused and bewildered. Meanwhile, Krishna's playmates, they said, "We know exactly what happened. Krishna pulled the grinding mortar crawling and the trees, he knocked over the trees." But Nanda Maharaj and Gopas were thinking, "Impossible. Krishna's our child. He's our beloved. He cannot do like this." But there was no answer. They were bewildered. They were confused. But Nanda Maharaj, smiling, he untied Krishna and set him free. This is the power of bhakti. Although the greatest of the demigods were delivered by the power of Krishna's mercy, Krishna remains subdued in a subordinate role to the love of his devotees. So this is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates have come to give to the world: entrance into the eternal pastimes of the Lord. There is no more birth, old age, disease, and death for the realized soul. who has understood his relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Srila Prabhupada and the great acharyas, they have come to give us that charity that the Lord has personally brought to this world through the chanting of the holy names. By hearing the glories of the Lord and by chanting the glories of the Lord, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, we can taste the nectar of true devotion. We can experience the unlimited wealth of the spiritual world. Therefore, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu taught us all, especially people living in this great land of India, Bharat Bhumi, give the greatest welfare to the world by distributing the knowledge of pure devotion and teaching people the Yuga Dharma of the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Being inspired by the environment of having this satsang in the social welfare center of the Western Railway Atunga Road Colony, we are inspired to speak these few words to all of you. Please, with your heart and soul, understand and appreciate what is real welfare. Accept it and distribute it to your capacity, and your lives will find the ultimate fulfillment. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.